The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at Life Streams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
So when we created C2C, they came on as a church family, and Jay has been a part of C2C for 15 years. So it's been a long time that he has been part of a family. So it's very exciting to hear from you this morning. Very excited to have you like in person with us.
Thank you.
And this morning we get to hear from you. And he is a church training, like so church planters, he trains the church planters who go out and plant churches. So Jay has a lot of wisdom, a lot of experience, and we're very excited to hear from you. So I'm going to step down. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Good morning. This year is very challenging here for me for various reasons. The Lord Jesus said, I will build my church. It's an optimistic prophecy. The Lord said, I will build my church. And we had a wonderful celebration of the table of the Lord. And the Lord said, do this in remembrance of me till I come. We see an optimistic prophecy and a strong instruction / warning. Remember me. This year, the Lord took me to a few occasions where I heard global church leaders sharing some of their witnessing, some of their testimonies concerning what's happening in their countries. To share that in a nutshell, all that I want to say is this. In spite God said that prophetic promise, the church today at large is not really growing. When I say that, it's very hard for many of you to believe it, but that's the story. I do not have time to statistically prove that we are not really growing all over the world. But we grow, our growth is not very significant. We don't run the speed that God wants us to run. We run better than last year, but still we are way behind today. In the meantime, the whole year last year, in our church, I was teaching Book of Acts. As I was reading Book of Acts and teaching, there were a few observations which Holy Spirit revealed to me. And one of them is this. God has called us to witness. And we fail there. We have optimistic prophecy. We hold the truth, infallible truth in our hands. In spite, we don't grow because we don't witness. This morning, I want to share some of my thoughts from Book of Acts. And if you would ask me to give a title for what I'm going to share this morning, we'd say it's witnessing. You cannot escape unless you meditate Acts 1:8 to know better the word witnessing than this particular passage. I would request you to go with me to Book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, which is there on the screen. You could read that. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So that's the word, key word, witnessing. You have to witness. If you don't witness, you cannot accomplish the commission. You cannot see the promise is being fulfilled through you. I want to just focus on a few words here. The first one is the word you. So who are these you when God was speaking to his people? The second one here is the par. What does it mean, the par? Is it par that which would make people to jump and stand and clap and physically do some significant things? What's the par? And the third one is why that word witnessing is so powerful. Why did he say witnessing? I want to just briefly bring some of my observations before you this morning. The word who here first. Let's look at that. Who is that who? Or who is that you? Grammatically, it is in plural form, which means that you represents a community of people. In the context, I see four classifications. The first one is apparently the 11 disciples that we read in verse 13. The names are very precisely given here. So 11 are included there. And then 120, apparently we read about it in verse 15. And 3,000, which would be seen eventually in chapter 2 as a result of Peter's preaching. And then when you come to chapter 2, verse 39, there we read, everyone whom the Lord our God calls himself. So I think that you includes you and me as well. That includes, technically, in immediate context, 11, 120, and 3,000, and everyone who had believed that God had called them during the first century time. And of course, the implication comes to us too as well. Okay, now I want you to think about the four categories that are mentioned here in their immediate context. The first one here is about the 11. If you turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verse 17, if you read, it says, some of the 11 believed the Lord Jesus and worshipped, or believed and submitted themselves. And there were few, we do not know who were there. They doubted, which means they did not submit themselves to the authority and the instructions. They doubted. It's not sin, but they could not take everything. So a mixture of people, a community, believing community and not believing community among the 11. But when you go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 14, it's speaking about, most probably, I believe, it represents not only 11, but also that 120 that we read in Acts 1:15. And about them, we read in Mark's Gospel, they were people with unbelief and hard-hearted, which means it's not that hard-hearted in terms of committing sin, but they could not accept who Jesus is that was revealed before them and the instructions. And when you come to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 38, they were troubled in their spirit, and they had doubts as well. And how about the other community that we see here? I don't know. What's wrong with this? Ah, okay. So 120 plus, apparently from the observations we made, probably new and young believers. and 3,000 fresh and clueless believers, and whom the Lord of our God calls, apparently, in general, I would conclude they are weak and fragile people. Okay, from these observations, I want to conclude in this way. Who are the people God said you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit is given to the fragile and weak people. That you represents fragile and weak people. Let's go and look at the other one about power. What is this power? Matthew 25:15. If you read in context, the same word, the Greek word dunamai, is translated as ability. We always think of power, but that word also means ability. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 30, in that context, that dunamai is translated as virtue, a quality. And then when you come to, again, the same book, chapter 6, verse 5, ability to do mighty work. Ability to work, to do something. And Paul uses in his epistle, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, it's a strength. So that word power should not be limited to some kind of energy. And there we commit mistake. It's much more than energy. It's an ability. It's a virtue. It's something do in a mighty manner. And it is a strength. So how can we include this idea into what I said earlier? To make another statement, we should think of, again, a bit grammatical, and I'm sure that you would accept my exposition here. You could understand power in Greek, it is a noun, and then in Greek grammar, there are clauses, and it is in accusative. So accusative, it tells that something goes to something, or something reflect on something fully, and so that there is a direct result, direct consequence is taking place. Here, you will receive the power, the verb, you will receive the power. When you receive that power is a kind of total sum. It's not partial giving. It's total strength. Total ability, total virtue, and it is transferred to these weak people. The time it is transferred, they are fully made able. They are fully able to do. They are fully to do mighty works. They are fully strengthened. So which means the time they are filled with that Holy Spirit, the time they receive that Holy Spirit, they are ready to go and do something. So having that understanding, I want to extend my statement in this way. Holy Spirit is given to the fragile and weak people in order that they may be made able, virtuous, and powerful. Okay, let's go and see the word witness, and that will help us to make this thesis complete. Okay, who are the witnesses vividly given in Book of Acts? The people, Peter, James, Barnabas, Stephen, Paul, and few others. What kind of witnessing they have done? Indeed, they have done miracles, no question about it. That's part of their witnessing, but that's not the only witnessing. After my study in this book, this is what I found. There are few major activities, and one of the major activities of witnessing of these people is this, witnessing to the resurrection of Jesus. Particularly Peter, he was so emphatic in confirming this particular truth. Jesus is no more dead. It's not that Jesus came to an end on the cross of Calvary. He is still alive. He's still alive. He's still alive. My friends, I believe that this is the witnessing subject matter today, even we are expected to do. There are many other, but this is the key. And how did they do that witnessing? All that they did was this. Hey, look at me. Jesus in me. He is alive. He's not dead God. He's in me. He's in me. Friends, that's what a missing element. I read this, but I don't remember where did I read. So if you read too much, you know, you forget where you read, okay? So this is what I read. The New Testament church was born out of witnessing and was born to witness. It was born out of witnessing and it is to witness. They witnessed the power of God. They witnessed the veracity of God. They witnessed the immutability of God. And they witnessed the sovereignty of God. And they began to go and tell people, He's alive. He's alive. So this is the thesis I want to say from these the observations we made from these three words. Holy Spirit is given to the fragile and weak people in order that they may be made able, virtuous and powerful witnessing to the fact that Jesus is alive. Why church is not growing today, my friends? Do we lack money? Do we lack leaders? Do we lack anything? Do we lack power of God? We have everything. The missing ingredient today is witnessing. Let's go and see the Word of God. This is a further kind of survey I want to make here. I have chosen few chapters pertaining to church in Jerusalem, which goes all the way to chapter 8. Okay? Some of the observations I want to bring before you. Of course, I'm going to give some summary. Sorry. Okay. Okay, the first one is chapter 2. We all know chapter 2. Chapter 2 speaks about the dramatic ascension of the dramatic coming of the Holy Spirit upon the people. They all spoke in tongues. Well, that was an outstanding miracle, no question about it. But my mind doesn't go there and settle. You know, what I look at here is, if you read very carefully, the recipients of the Holy Spirit here are the Jewish diaspora scattered in different parts of the world. Okay, so they are by birth Jewish people, or by origin, not birth, by origin, they were Jewish people, and by migration, they departed to different parts of the world then, and so their language was changed, apparently their cultures were changed, and if you count, I counted 17 communities. All that they had common was some origin from Jewish history, that's it. But 17 cultures, 17 languages, people gathered together. And here, the Holy Spirit came and filled these people. And simultaneously, the truth was spoken by these people, and the hearers heard in 17 different languages. Okay, when I think about missionary training, I have to train a missionary for 2-3 years minimum to cross-cultural ministry. And here we see, you know, such a great, awesome miracle. And there was no training, there was no preparation. All of them were able to speak in 17 different languages. And culturally they were able to understand, the recipients, the hearers were able to understand. It's a miracle, but what I see here is this. The power of the Holy Spirit is unbelievable. It breaks all the cultures. It could break the cultures and language barriers. You know, nothing could stop. That's powerful gospel. It's a witnessing. The power made these 120 plus 11, and we do not know surely for how many. Some people, they believe it was 500, as Paul says. We don't know. They were able to do such a miracle. Cultures cannot stand. Barriers cannot stand before the gospel. Let's go to chapter 3 and read up to chapter 4, verse 21. What do we see here? We read here about a healing of a born lame. But if you read carefully, Luke did not write that we may know how did that miracle happen. That's not his primary purpose. His primary purpose is how did Peter make use of that miracle? He looks at the people and said, "You have killed the author of life, the Lord Jesus, on the cross. And today you see this man standing, fully healed, unbelievably healed. He's a born lame. The power of Jesus had healed him. If that's true, born sinners can be healed. Born sinners can be strengthened. That's the power." If you move to the next one. Spiritual transformation is guaranteed by offering physical transformation by the power of God, the living Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go to the next one. This is chapter 4, verses 22 to 37. And it's such an interesting demonstration of people. You know, at that time, Jerusalemites were not very rich. But when there was the need presented by the apostles, we see spontaneous giving. It was such a liberal giving. A pioneering church with young believers gave for the mission of the church sacrificially by the instigating power of the Holy Spirit. When you move to chapter 5, verse 17, till chapter 8, verse 3, then the church moves to Samaria and Judea. And that section is full of details about the persecution. Persecution broke. And what do we see there? The persecution could not stop the church growth. So well, Paul said, "I'm in chain, but not the gospel," which means gospel cannot be chained by any political power. Persecution cannot stop the growth of the church. Church began growing in midst of resistance and violence by the power of the Holy Spirit. So up to chapter 8, these are the four demonstrations I see, my friends. Okay, why am I bringing this to you? When I think about my country where I've been serving, we have challenges. Everybody's saying 1 billion people of non-Christian faith with multi cultures and languages. It's a challenge. India is one of the challenging countries. 400 languages officially found and 2000 plus dialects. This is another challenge we have. Increasing religious fanaticism and resistance in my country. Oppressive demonic activities. Trials and obstacles that we have as we serve the Lord. So this is where I work. Am I optimistic or pessimistic this morning? I'm very optimistic. Because I believe this is the Word of God. This is infallible. And this is the only source for my faith and my practice. I believe this, so I'm very optimistic. We keep serving. The Holy Spirit is all enough for us. My friends, you may be wondering how this Jerusalem story, which I related to my own situation, could relate to you. How this could be. You know, I want to tell you the Holy Spirit, God is wanting to first invite you this morning to be His witnesses. And He instructs you to go and witness. Let me say it again. The Holy Spirit God this morning is inviting you to become His witnesses. The same Holy Spirit God is instructing you to go and witness for the same Lord. Come in, say, taste, go. Be optimistic. The church is not growing. That does not mean that is the end. There is a need for revival. There is a need for energizing experience. There is a need for commitment. There is a need for rededication. An invite and instruction. When I think about invite, what I would like to say is this. No matter, perhaps you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, as many others seated here, they know Him. Maybe you have some problems. You are under the grip of some sin. Probably you believe that you cannot be forgiven by anybody in this world. You might think that you are so weak. You make decisions and break decisions. But I want to tell you this morning, the power is assured for weak people, fragile people. I'm weak and fragile, but the promise is given to me. Invite is before you. God is wanting you to be His witness. No matter whatever is your past, whatever is right now your present, there is a bright future. God is inviting you this morning. The same God tells you, go out. Oh, many cultures, many challenges, many issues. Look at chapter 2. That power is available even today for you and me. We can go out. The second one I want to tell you is this. The power of God will transform you, first of all, holistically. If you respond to that call and come forward, God is going to undertake you fully. He will transform you fully. And when you look around and see, you know, I have a number of stories, but I don't have time to share. Okay, there was a man, alcoholic, drug addict. When I got connected with him, this was his first question. You think I will be fully changed by God? I promised him, yes, God can do that if you believe, if you trust Him. I want to tell you today he's one of the church planters. He's willing to transform you and me fully and the world as well. The third one I want to say is this. Power of God will make you to give for the Lord liberally. When God calls you to witness for Him, giving is very important. You know, there's sometimes people would come and talk to me, I want to give, but my situation does not permit me. You know, I'm already in debts. You know, I have to clear so many bills. I want to give for the Lord, but I cannot. But I want to tell you, the Word of God confirms here, if you seek His power, we will be able to give. You can give. The last one I want to say is this. Power of God will make you to be optimistic in spite of all your and our adversities we have, adverse realities we have. When I close my eyes and think of my future and the mission's future in India, you know, nothing I could see. All that I see is God's promise. God's promise. I don't know about your future, what kind of future you have before you, which threatens you quite often, which prevents you not to yield yourself, to become a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But invite and instruction both stand for you this morning. Respond to His invite. Make a commitment. God, here am I want to be a witness for your glory. You will see wonders and miracles in your life. Take steps in faith to witness here in the city of Perth, and you will see many will be drawn closer to the Lord. The whole book of Acts speaks about it. The whole book of Acts speaks about it. Seek for windows of opportunities and be used by the Lord. May God bless you.